It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
As we continue to get you ready for week one, we did find out this week, Jacoby Brissett, yes, that Jacoby Brissett will start week one for New England against Cincinnati. But for Cincinnati, well, we know that this Joe Burrow guy is going to be there, but will Ja'Marr Chase? And what's the status of Joe's health? To talk about all that and more, we head out to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline and welcome on Bengals Talk SI, host of the Locked On Bengals podcast. Good old buddy James Rapine joins us now. What's up, bud?
Nick, what's going on?
Don't you like how I bring you on in a lot less hostile manner than Ken does?
That's right. Yeah, I'll take it for sure. I also don't want to give Ken any ammo, so I'm just going to leave it there.
That is fair. That is fair. We do trade information, but what's the latest on Joe Burrow's health coming off the wrist injury?
He's looked pretty darn solid, and I think the reason I phrase it that way is because I've seen him make every throw. I haven't seen him get hit. And while you don't want your quarterback to get hit, you're talking about a serious ligament in that wrist, a 6-month recovery time, all of the things that went into getting his wrist back to normal, and he's still got to keep it loose. So you're going to see him moving it and rotating it. Don't be alarmed when that happens week one. That's just part of it. At the same time, we haven't seen him get hit. And so how he responds there, I'm curious to see. And I'm not sure he knows yet. So that's the big box that he needs to check. But from a throw standpoint, we've seen him throw it deep. We've seen him throw it short across the number. All of the throws that you're looking for Joe to make, he's made in camp. Now he's just got to go out there and do it in the game.
I know I've asked you this question before, and I know you've been asked it by others on the station. But it feels like, and I hate this phraseology because it implies something, but it feels like Joe has had a fair amount of injuries, and we don't talk about his health the way we do maybe Lamar Jackson, who's also had a fair amount of significant injuries. Any working theory why that might be?
Well, a couple of things. One, I think especially early in Joe's career, it was pretty obvious why. The offensive line was awful his first couple of years. And I mean, awful. And so you had a rookie who wanted to make plays, who held on to the ball as long as he could and was willing to take the hits because he's stubborn, and did that for the betterment of the team. And oh, by the way, especially when he was a rookie, they were throwing it a ton. I remember the 61 attempt game 4-5 days into his career in Cleveland on Thursday Night Football. He had no business throwing it 61 times. And yet he did it and kept the Bengals in that game. It was the only reason that game was close. So I think it's a mixture of the personnel just wasn't there early in Joe's career. He somehow got them, along with Ja'Marr Chase, to a Super Bowl with guys like Isaiah Prince, Trey Hopkins, Quentin Spain, all started their last game in Super Bowl 56. That was their last professional game. So, period, and not even preseason. So when you look at it that way, I think it's that, but I also think that now we are in year five. We are talking about a second major injury. And so I wouldn't label him injury prone, and people do, but I do think he does need to show he can stay healthy this year. Oh, by the way, the offensive line should be the best it's been in the Joe Burrow era. So I think that's a reasonable expectation.
I've heard that line before. Why no deal yet for Ja'Marr Chase?
$145-150 million question, right? I think it's a couple of things. One, I think from a guaranteed money standpoint, it's always a I don't want to say a struggle, but the Bengals don't like giving guaranteed money past that first year. And that's why they gave a huge signing bonus to Orlando Brown Jr. last year in free agency. They've done similar things with Trey Hendrickson and other big free agents that they've added. But Joe Burrow was the exception. And I think what we're seeing with Jamar and him sitting out right now, we haven't talked to him, so this is me speculating to a degree, but just understanding who he is, I think he says, I'm not Jesse Bates, I'm not T. Higgins, I'm not Trey Hendrickson, I'm Jamar Chase, I'm in that Joe Burrow category. And so going into my fourth season, I deserve an extension just like Joe received. And it took them all the way till the Thursday before the opener last year. Joe signs the deal on the Saturday before flying to Cleveland to play the Browns on Sunday. I mean, it took every second to get Joe Burrow's deal done. So it wouldn't shock me at all if it goes down to the wire again. But hopefully they can get something done, because obviously Jamar Chase is a game changer.
What chance do you think there is that Jamar actually won't be there week one?
I think there is a chance. And that's what the vibe I've gotten. And then he shows up for practice that isn't open to the media, and he participates. And then he participates in the second session. And these are really late practices that weren't open to the media. And then Zach Taylor says, oh, I expect him week one. And then he's like, I'm going to remind you guys that I deserve the Joe treatment here. We need to get this done before week one. I want to be ready for the Patriots, but I also want the deal to get done. And I think that's what the reminder was the past couple of days. Does it move the meter? I don't know. Is he willing to go as far as sit out regular season games, games that matter? That's his leverage. That's the only leverage he actually has. And so that's the balance here is, can he do that? Is he willing to do that? Up to this point, his teammates have supported him every step of the way. I think once you start talking about regular season games, it gets really dicey. And if Jamar isn't out there when Joe talks on Wednesday, so if he doesn't show up for practice on Wednesday and participate, well, then we're going to be asking Joe Burrow after practice about it. And I think that's when it starts to become a real distraction.
James Rapine of the Locked On Bengals and Bengals Talk SI on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. So you've got this with Jamar, T. Higgins, we know that contract kerfuffle, Trey Hendrickson wants a new deal. At what point does this amount to on-the-field implications for the Bengals with all these potential distractions heading into the season?
I think the only one that could be a potential distraction is Jamar. As far as T goes, it's pretty much par for the course. He knows the situation. He's known it for months, and I think he's come to terms with it and is at peace with it. Had the best training camp I've seen him have. Looks poised. If you're drafting in fantasy leagues this year, Nick, you got some drafts this weekend, I would be interested in T. Higgins. He's probably a good buy because he looks really darn good. So I don't think that there's a distraction there. Trey Hendrickson, it's weird because he agreed to a one-year contract extension last offseason. So of all the guys that are complaining contract-wise, that one was just unique and I think an outlier because they just extended him for an extra year last. It was late July as camp was starting. So I think he'll be fine. I think he kind of knows the situation. Could that come up again next offseason? Maybe. But I think this year he's got to be dialed in and perform at a high level, much like T. Higgins, if he wants a new deal.
James, we had this conversation about the Browns year over year and whether on paper they're better right now than they were a year ago. I believe we've had it for five straight years, but for you, compare this roster right now to the 2021 roster. Is it better? Is it as good? Is it worse? I almost said worser. That's why I paused.
It's better in some areas. I think it's worse in some areas. And so I obviously elaborate. The offensive line, it's obviously better. I mean, Orlando Brown Jr. is much better than what they had. Their interior offensive line is much better than what they had. And part of that is because of what they had or didn't have in 2021. So from that element and standpoint, I think it's better. Joe Mixon was still Joe Mixon in 21. And so running back-wise, I think you're probably taking a slight step back. Also from a fit standpoint, I think you're curious to see, and I'm curious to see how this running back room looks. Wide receiver-wise, I think they're deeper, certainly. Now, Tyler Boyd more established, but you lose Tyler Boyd, and I really think you're going to be six deep most of the year. of guys that you can put out there on offense and feel confident in. They're certainly five deep right now, and I think rookie Jermaine Burton will catch on and start contributing at some point this year. So offensively, Joe's experience, all of those things, I think they should be better. Defensively, they're probably worse. And Trey Hendrickson's a bit older. Miles Murphy's banged up. You don't have DJ Reader in the middle of your defense. You still have the same linebackers, and that's certainly a good thing. And then you have Geno Stone instead of Jesse Bates, and I think Geno Stone's going to be a darn good player. I don't expect him to be 2021 Jesse Bates, especially what Bates did in the playoffs. So I think the defense, not as good. The offense should certainly be better, and that's the balance now, is you're going to be banking on T. Higgins, Jamar Chase, and then obviously Joe Burrow to carry even more of the load than they did when you made it the back-to-back AFC championship games.
Biggest threat in this division, and which team are you least concerned about in this division?
I think the biggest threat is still the Ravens. They've lost pieces, but they have such a dynamic quarterback. Obviously, they're getting Mark Andrews back. That defense always seems to reload, even though they lost probably the best defensive coordinator in the league. And so I would say the Ravens, team I'm least worried about, it's probably Pittsburgh, but it's tough. Because I think the Browns have a much more complete roster, but there's a big question mark at quarterback. The Steelers, they have such a great culture, but I saw Stefanski. And we don't talk about the culture. I saw Stefanski win last year with Joe Flacco. So question marks at quarterback for both teams, but I would give the Browns the edge over the Steelers, even though, you know, Pittsburgh and that pedigree and everything that we could say about Mike Tomlin.
8 weeks from now, if the Browns are remarkably better than the Steelers, I will remind you of this. If the Steelers are better, you're never going to hear from me again.
Whoa, I just said, I just put the Browns ahead of the Steelers.
Well, yeah, but you kind of did it, like, it was a little conditionally. Like, yeah, they're probably the Steelers.
They have a better roster.
Probably. You gave me a probably. Don't act like you just pounded the table like Skip Bayless saying he was the first man on the moon. Like, come on now.
Well, no. I mean, if every team is who they should be, the Browns and Steelers are third and fourth in the division.
So you see, I don't like that. I still don't like that. No.
Does that clear it up?
No, I wanted a Super Bowl Super Browns out of you.
Yeah.
Would the Reds and Guardians be serious rivals if they were in the same division?
Maybe if the Reds were competitive, you know. I mean, what are we doing? It's baseball here is kind of like it is up there, man. If you're not competitive, it just kind of gets lost in the shuffle. And they have Ellie and really that's it. So we'll see what they do this offseason.
A year ago when Ellie De La Cruz came up, it was the face of baseball. The Reds are on fire. And a year later, it's, I don't know. I got to say, we got to do better, Cincinnati. That's all I'm going to say. Just go back to your people down there and tell them. I'm expecting a little bit better out of that.
Well, they got to build, right? You know, you got to push. Like when you have someone like Ellie in this market, and I get it. Like it was just a little over half of a year last year, but you got to be willing to push some chips in. And like their signings, like they went out and spent some money, but their signings were just kind of like, all right, here's Jamer Candelario, here's Frankie Montas. Like that's not putting your chips in big time. It's like, we're going to try to win. And that trying to win and really pushing to win are two different things.
James, excellent stuff, buddy. Appreciate you. And I can't wait till the Browns beat the Bengals here in Carry the Two, October 22nd. Because you know they can't beat us.
Wow.
It's just the way it goes.
I mean, they have. They have.
How many times, though?
Oh, so it's enough. It's going to be funny if the Bengals are 15-2. And the two losses are to the Browns, and they get the one seed, and you can still hold on to that. So that would be fun. I don't think that's going to happen. So.
They're not going to win 15 games. James, we appreciate you, buddy.
Neither of those things are coming true.
I should have specified it. I got to it first. James Rapine there on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Bengals Talk SI and host of Locked On Bengals. And we do have some significant news here as breaking news. Snoop Huntley going back to Baltimore, according to Jordan Schultz, a reunion alongside Lamar Jackson in Baltimore. So Tyler Huntley, who spent 5 months in Cleveland, now goes all the way back to Baltimore. All right. I'm not going to be this guy. I don't know this is great for the Cleveland Browns. I don't know that if you've got a new offense you're trying to surprise the NFL with, the guy that was in here, and I think the reason why Tyler Huntley has survived to the point that he has survived in his career is because Tyler Huntley is a very, you have to be savvy, you have to work your butt off. So the idea that the guy we got from the enemy spent 5 months here, times a flat circle, learning the ins and outs of what you want quarterbacks to do in the system, and now he's going back to the enemy, I suddenly am not, I'm not just anti-Tyler Huntley. I kind of am a little riled up by this. I kind of think this actually is a pretty significant deal. If we had signed him from the Eagles and he went back to the Eagles, it's not going to impact you. Honestly, if he had signed with anybody else in this division, I know Mike Tomlin is the wizard, and Mike Tomlin could turn any hunk of crap into a 9-8 team, and I'm just supposed to bow before Mike Tomlin. But, like, guys, he's had a bunch of crappy quarterbacks, and they've pretty much had a ceiling on them the last 6 years. So, yeah, you're going to be competitive. Cool. That's awesome. That's not the bar in Pittsburgh. All right? Yes, I don't want to have to block T.J. Watt and Alonzo Highsmith, but it seems like other teams' tackles can, just not the Cleveland Browns. But I digress. I'm not terrified of that situation. I'm not terrified of the Cincinnati Bengals. I'll be honest. They're a clown-ass organization. They are. Like, Ja'Marr Chase, oh, I don't know if we want to pay him. Well, then you're dumb. You're dumb or cheap and or dumb and cheap. Either one of those or both. But, like, Baltimore? Man, I hate to be this guy because, you know, I'm sure Browns fan, you know, Browns players might be listening to this. Maybe they just got to practice. Maybe they're just going to practice. I don't know. I'm not in touch with their daily schedules. I hate this. I hate that Snoop Huntley came here for 5 months, learned the things you want Deshaun to do, and now can tell the Ravens defense. I know that that happens in the NFL. I just hate that it happened with the Ravens because that's the team that I want to upend the most this year. The news just came down. Tyler Huntley, Snoop, as he was known to some, has signed back with the Baltimore Ravens. So that is the latest news here. As Jake Volnick put it off air, pretty much always felt like this was a possibility. But interesting that Tyler could have had a chance to re-sign in Baltimore at any point. And then chose to do so after getting released by, meaning he didn't have to sign with Cleveland in the first place. And I know, like, I'll be honest with you, I can't be mad at the Browns for signing him. Like, they had to think this far ahead that this could be the thing that would happen. It was always a potential. But, like, I'm not going to hammer Barry and Stefanski for this, nor am I going to hammer Snoop Huntley. I just hate the situation. Sometimes you don't have to blame somebody. You can just address the fact that you hate this. And what I hate about it is Tyler Huntley was in that quarterback room. It'd be totally different if it was a defensive tackle. It'd be totally different if it was a safety, right? Because they're not going to know everything that goes into that quarterback room. Tyler Huntley did. Now Tyler Huntley's back in Baltimore. Now, you know, baseball has been consumed with their next big fix. And I'm excited for this Pittsburgh-Cleveland series, mostly because I think it's an opportunity to continue to be on the right side. And I'll be honest with you, it was a good win on Wednesday against Kansas City. But I think there's a lot going on in that Guardians locker room. And I had heard that you didn't really hear from anybody after the win, that the atmosphere was a little closed off on Wednesday. And if the Guardians are getting to a point where, and this is me reading through the tea leaves, it seems like the Guardians are getting to a point where they're frustrated at being asked about their own struggles. And it sure seems like they're shooting the messenger. And I totally understand that this is a younger team. And I totally understand that nobody likes when people are critical of them or they question their abilities or question. I'll just say, my hope is that whatever happened Wednesday, where there was some sort of delay in talking to the media and seem to be a limited desire to engage with the media. My hope is that the Guardians understand that they have played themselves into this situation and that they can easily play themselves out. I understand the fundamental principle that we like when nice things are said about us and we don't like when mean things are said about us or things we don't like that are said about us. That being said, if you're a baseball player or a plus-size radio host, it is an occupational hazard, and there are better ways to deal with it than maybe the ways, just speculating here, that maybe the Guardians have been dealing with it. But this series is important because you should take this. You really should. I really, really think you should take this series, and I honestly think that you should sweep this series. No Paul Skeens. I know the Pittsburgh Bats have kind of perked up recently, but this Pittsburgh team is playing some of their worst baseball. And while we talk every day about how the Guardians haven't quite figured it out, the Guardians, oh, are they going to fall out of the lead in the AL Central? Pittsburgh's fallen from kind of the middle of the pack in the NL Central to the bottom of the pack. And I believe it was yesterday morning, maybe, they're 11 games below 500. This is a series where a series win should be the expectation, and it wouldn't pain me if you thought that they should sweep the Pirates. You have the pitching matchup, or at least a push in every one of these games, and you're at home, and you're playing something, and they're not. And you're a better-led organization. No, and this is not about Derek Shelton, who used to work here. It's more about how they actually run that thing from top to bottom. Like, Pittsburgh is Cleveland if they had the worst ownership in sports. I don't know if anybody saw Mark Cuban tweeted. Somebody had mentioned that they wanted Mark Cuban to buy the Pittsburgh Pirates because the Pittsburgh Pirates ownership consistently underwhelms and underspends and basically just collects the money through revenue sharing and never puts it back into the club. Sound familiar? Well, that, Pittsburgh, is what happens if that's actually the case. And Mark Cuban was like, nope, they're not going to sell. They're quite content doing what they're doing. I think the Dolans haven't sold because I think they're waiting for their elder statesmen to no longer be in the picture. And that's the nicest way. I don't want to put it in like a mean, incendiary way, but I think there's a sensitivity to the people who helped them buy the team. That's always been my opinion. I don't think they're cheap. I don't think they're necessarily the biggest spenders. But I think if you look at Cleveland and Pittsburgh, there are so many similarities. And I think you can definitely see which one of those organizations is led better. And which one of those organizations actually does have an organization committed to winning ideas and winning year in and year out. And that does start with the ownership. Might not like the Dolans. They are better than the Pirates, and we're going to take that. But I actually think, you know, baseball keeps looking for their next big fixes, and I do. I do not think the Guardians need to be fixed. I actually have some fixes that we're going to get to. Here's the thing. I think what they really need is time. But I have a few solutions that I think might help.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Help speed up the turnaround for the Guardians. Before we get to that, baseball itself, they keep looking for their next big fix. They really rapidly repopularized the game with the new rules, and whether it's the pitch clock, whether it's changing some of the defensive tactics, and how often you're allowed to move defenders and where you're allowed to move them. There's still some issues. Like, this game still is tilted a little too much towards pitchers, even though you can't keep guys healthy to save the way. And, oh, by the way, another issue is the fact you can't keep them healthy. But I actually think baseball's next big fix, like the big one, like the oh my God, I can't believe they're doing this, is actually obvious. And it absolutely involves Cleveland. And it involves Pittsburgh, and it involves Cincinnati. And we asked James Rapine, you know, hey, if Cincinnati and Cleveland were in the same, I don't know why I said we, I did it. But I asked James Rapine, if those two teams were in the same division, would they be serious rivals? And his answer was, yeah, if they're both winning at the same time. And I think that kind of makes sense. I think that's baseball's next big fix. And I don't think it's going to happen until baseball decides when and where to expand to. I think baseball's next big fix is to make sure that teams geographically make more sense in their divisions. Because I think, like, I keep looking at having to compete with Detroit. Detroit is a top 10 market. And even though they don't always spend like it, Detroit is and should be a team that's capable of running this division if they just spend right and build right. The Chicago White Sox. We've been lucky that the Chicago White Sox don't spend the kind of money that they could spend because Jerry Reinsdorf is a bad owner. Minnesota's a bigger market team than you. They're also, was it 12-hour drive away? I think the next big fix, and listen, I don't know what to do with cities like New York and Chicago where they have two teams, or LA where you've got the Dodgers and Angels. But at some point, we need to get into a spot where, from a divisional standpoint, we can have rivalries that drive baseball outside of New York, Boston, St. Louis, Chicago, Los Angeles, and San Francisco. And I don't think there's anything the Royals can ever do to truly be the Guardians' rivals, mostly because it has more to do with fan travel than it does anything to do with the fact that their windows of contention haven't lined up right. It is impossible to get it's impossible to road trip to Kansas City for a 3-game set. Well, it's not impossible, but if you have to still work, it becomes impossible real quick. Not that hard to catch a four-hour drive down to Cincinnati and back in a quick turnaround, or a 2-hour drive to Pittsburgh and back. Or in case of Detroit, which I think is the team we've had the most friction with, in terms of, I think that's another team that's just a absolute, you put Detroit, Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, and Cleveland in the same division, and I think over time fireworks will happen. Because if I can say the same thing about Cleveland, Pittsburgh's a pretty short drive for Detroit. Cincinnati's a pretty short drive for Detroit. What you do with the other, I don't really care. As long as those four teams are in the same division, and it will, I do think it will happen. And it means eliminating or reconfiguring what the AL and NL are. That's the next fix. And so every time Pittsburgh's in town, or you go to Pittsburgh, or when you go to Cincinnati, and they try to play on the NFL rivalries, I just don't think it's going to matter until you're in the same division competing for a AL Central or NL Central, whatever division it is, a divisional crown on any given year. And here's the other big thing. Three of those teams are afflicted by the same problem, which is mid to small market ownership. 216-474-0092. I will ask you guys, I'm going to throw this out there, whether you would like to see the Guardians in the same division as the Pittsburgh Pirates. I'm really just not where other people are with the Guardians. I have some level of concern, but I think what the Guardians really need is time. I really do. I think they just need time to figure things out. When you're a team that depends on all three facets of the game to win consistently and to win big, at some point, when that machine gets out of whack, the way the rotation was for, and still kind of is, to some degree, when you're relying on one part of your team and constantly overcoming it, if you're a complete team, or if you're built to be good lineup, good rotation, good bullpen, which is, I think, what the plan was coming into the season, If you're constantly having to overcome something like the Guardians did with the rotation, eventually other things fall out of whack. And I think the lineup periodically gives us glimpses that maybe they're not that far away. I think the rotation is pretty close. Lively is solid. Gavin and Tanner, they have been solid this year. They're both coming off bad starts, but again, I have faith that those two guys are going to be okay. And then Matt Boyd, I just realized we have something for every starter, but I digress. I think they've got four starters right now. I think if you still have all four starters, or if you can round those guys into postseason form, I think you're actually going to be fine with the rotation in October and November. Knock on wood on the November thing. You gotta get through October to get to November. You got to keep playing. But so I guess this is a long-winded way of saying I'm not sure the Guardians need fixed. But I think tonight's lineup does give us kind of an indication of how they can get right if they want to try and nudge this along, right? Because, again, I think this thing will fix itself with time. If you don't feel like you have time, I think there are things you can do to try and speed this up. Namely, they got to figure out what the hell they're doing in the two spot. Because I'm not here to... I know I gave him the nickname Lemon Law Lane. I know that's not nice. All right? It was a moment of frustration. It's alliterative. It's on me. That one's on me. It's not nice, but it is true because he's just not been any good since he came here. You traded for Lane Thomas to be the two-hitter. Well, he's not hitting anything. He can't be there. They keep trying to put Andrés Giménez back in the two-hole. Occasionally, you'll see Schneeman or... trying to think who else. Because they tried like, Angel Martinez for a minute was in the two-hole. And nobody stuck there. And I just think you are cheapening your offense and you're cheapening what you might be able to get out of there by not putting Jose Ramirez there. And I think, similar to what they did tonight, I think then you move Fry up ahead of Naylor and then you try and work the rotation. Then you try and work the lineup from there. Maybe John Kensey becomes your five hitter. Maybe you just kind of piecemeal the rest of that. But I just think it is ridiculous. I don't know if Jose's the three hitter because that's where Jose wants to be. It's the only thing I can figure out. Or if there's some study that says you should get your best hitter on your team less hits and less at-bats, I would think it's the opposite. But the two-hole has become a massive, 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 have I mentioned massive problem yet? And so I think the simplest answer, instead of, hey, let's see if Andrés Giménez can do this. Hey, let's see if Lemon Law Lane has figured out how to hit major league pitching again. Instead of doing any of these things, why not just move Hosey up one spot consistently, keep him there, and give him a chance to get more at-bats throughout the game? I know that creates another problem. But this is also tied in with the other quasi-fix that I have. I have a theory. Sorry, Lima. I have a working theory that the Guardians keep switching up their lineup to try and hide their deficiencies and also to make it harder for opposing teams to figure out, from a pitchability standpoint, the rhythm that every lineup has when you set up a regular 1-9. And I actually don't really, like, theoretically, I don't think it's a big deal. I don't think the fact that the Guardians offensive struggles, I don't think it's because you don't have a set lineup every single day. I don't. Or one for lefties, one for righties, has been customarily used in baseball. Certainly in the heyday of baseball, where it was, we got one for the lefties, one for the righty. I don't think that's why they're not hitting. I just think they've got a lot of young, impatient players with some bad habits, and I think they're pressing. I don't think the lineup is as bad as they've been. I think the lineup of the first 77 games, I think that's real. I think who they were when there was no pressure on them to perform and before they felt the pressure of the rotation crunch and the bullpen and not trusting the other parts of their team, I think that can be found again quickly. But I think the best thing you can do when you're struggling is to simplify. Because players are a creature of habit. And while bouncing around, well, I think Schneeman's going to be the two-hitter today, and then tomorrow he's going to be the seven-hitter, and tomorrow Jimenez is going to be the two-hitter, and then the day after he's going to be the five-hitter. Players are creatures of habit. And if guys are out of their rhythm, I think the simplest thing you can do, even for a short bit, is go to the guys and say, this is our lefty lineup, this is our righty lineup. And I know you still have some platoons, so it's not going to be as simple as exact science, 1 through 9, the same guys every single night. But trying to simplify this in a way that players know, all right, I'm going to get the seventh look at the starting pitcher, so I'm going to see 6 at-bats before I get mine. I think that's another way to simplify things for young players who are clearly in their own head in their own way. When confusion, frustration, pressing, when all these things are, the best thing you can do in leadership is to simplify. Jose at the 2 spot from now on would simplify and take that pressure of not getting production in that spot out of your mind. Do you have to then solve another problem? Yep, that's baseball. Sometimes to answer one issue, you have to open up another. And then I think simplifying the lineup and really saying, this is who we are against lefties, this is who we are against righties. I don't know definitively it would work, but simplifying might be Stephen Vogt's best friend right now.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center... Keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.